All it took was one word. One word from the soldier who stood by him. Whenever this soldier spoke, it might not be what he wanted to hear, but it was usually very true. Tonight, it was this one word that when the soldier spoke it, it sent chills up his spine. "Are you ready?" the soldier asked. Was he ready? No, he was not ready at all. For years, he used to stand in this particular soldier's spot. He was second, maybe third in command, maybe even fourth. But today, right now, in this moment, he was the one they were looking to. He was the one who made the calls. It was his decision that could send men to their deaths. It was he, ultimately, who would bear the responsibility for victory or for failure. He was the commander. And as commander, the weight of the responsibility on his shoulders, it sent chills up his spine. But pushed past the feelings, he knew that it was time to act. And as he looked up, he could see across the river that stood as a boundary line, and the land before him never looked so appealing. You see, he'd waited 40 years for this very moment. He'd wandered in the desert for 40 years in preparation for this very moment. And he had resolved in his heart that this moment might not ever actually come. But guess what? Here it was. And even before the words had fully left his lips, with the people at his back, with his sword at his side, and with his army around him, Joshua said these three words, "Tomorrow we move." And even before those words had fully left his lips, he knew that what he said in those three words was sealing the destiny of his people. He knew that these words were ushering in a new journey. He knew that things would never be the same. He also knew that things were going to change. The story of Joshua is more than a story about war. It's more than a story about transition of leadership. It's more than a story about leading or a leadership parable. The story of Joshua is a story about having vision and making the necessary steps in order to see that vision fulfilled and seeing that vision actually achieved. It's this story that demonstrates this concept that we're going to rehearse over and over again tonight, and it's this, that reaching a vision requires change. So tonight, I'm very excited to get to share with you the vision of where we're headed in 2016 with FSM. But before I do that, I want to talk with you real quick about the Israelites, the children of Israel. You see, God had a vision for the children of Israel. God had a vision for them, and we can see it. The first place we see it is in Genesis 12. And God comes to Abraham, and essentially what he says is this: "Listen, Abraham, I have a vision for you. I have a vision for you, and I have a vision for a people that's going to come from you. And here's what that vision entails. I'm going to give you a land. I'm going to make you a great nation. You're going to be a blessing to all people. And by the way, through this people, I'm going to show the entire world who I am. They're going to know me because of you." Whatever that was. Cue God. Oh, that's good. And so God gives this vision to Abraham. And then the vision is not quite fulfilled yet, okay? And so it takes time. And so what ends up happening, the Israelites end up going into slavery for 400 years in Egypt. The vision is not realized. It's not fulfilled. And then God raises up a guy named Moses. And what does Moses do? He comes in. He delivers the children of Israel out of slavery. And when he delivers them out, God says, "Hey, I'm going to give you some rules. I'm going to give you some commands to live by. And by living this certain way, you're going to honor me." And guess what the Israelites do? They disobey. And so they wander in the desert for 40 years working this whole thing out with God. And then we come to the story of Joshua, and that's where we pick it up. And they've come to this place. They're literally standing at the Jordan River. The promised land is across from them, all right? And they see the vision right there, okay? That is the vision right across the river. But in order to get to that vision, in order to reach it, in order to attain it, they have to take some action. They have to take some movement. Because why? Because reaching a vision requires change, requires movement. Now, sometimes when it comes to a vision, sometimes in order to accomplish a vision, you need a change in leadership. Okay, sometimes you need a change in an attitude to reach a vision. Sometimes you need to change your habits. Sometimes you have to change locations. Sometimes you have to change your motivation for a vision to be realized. Change is not easy. How many of you would agree with me that change is not easy? Some change is good, some change is fun, but in general, change can be hard, change can be difficult. But here's the idea, you guys. When you believe in the vision, when you believe in a vision, the changes that you have to make, it becomes worth it. Those changes that you have to make to attain that vision is absolutely worth it. One example from my own life. 2 years ago, I went through a small little season, and I looked in the mirror one day, and I'm only in my upper 20s, but I noticed my stomach started like, it was like starting to come out, kind of like, it was just coming out, okay? And I just wasn't feeling very healthy, I wasn't feeling very energetic, and I said to myself, man, that is not the vision that I have for my life. I want to have energy, I want to be somewhat strappingly fit, I want my wife to like me, all that kind of stuff, okay? So I'd realized that the place I was in, that was not the vision I had for my life. I had a different vision, okay? And I had to make some changes. I had to change the way that I was eating, some of my habits with eating. I had to change those things, all right? When it came to exercise, I was not exercising. So I had to change my habits, and I had to start making exercise a routine, something that I did more often. Now, these changes were difficult. It's not easy to change the way you eat. It's not easy to start working out if you haven't for a while. But the changes I made were worth it because I had a vision for where I wanted to get to. Sometimes when there was a vision that we want to reach or achieve, we have to make changes. And sometimes those changes require us to fight, to pay a price, or to sacrifice in order to get there. So the children of Israel, when they're standing on this border, they're looking into the land of Israel that's just before them. They wanted to go in. They certainly wanted to go in. But in order to go in, they knew that things were going to change. And for some of them, this was very, very hard. Because, see, they'd gotten used to being in the wilderness. Even though it wasn't necessarily in our minds ideal, they'd gotten very used to walking around in circles for 40 years. It was very comfortable. It was very routine. It was very predictable. And now, something's going to change. This could be very uncomfortable. What if it's not really great going into that land? What if it actually isn't going to be so easy on me? What if I'm going to have to change the way that my life has been? What's going to happen? While these thoughts are going through their minds, God speaks something to Joshua. But I think he speaks it through Joshua, and I think it's also for the children of Israel. And it's Joshua 1:9. It's a familiar verse. He says this, God says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In other words, God was saying this. He was really saying this. Listen, I know that this vision I have for you is great. And I know that it's going to require you to make some changes. And I know that it might be really uncomfortable for some of you, but listen, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to walk you through it. I'm going to be right there for you. Be strong. Be courageous. Don't stay where you're at. Don't be content staying where you're at. You've got to cross that river. You've got to get to the promised land. You've got to get where I want you to go. If we're going to accomplish anything in our life, if we're going to be who we're supposed to be, if we're going to accomplish what God wants to accomplish through each of our lives, then we have to believe in a great vision, and then we have to make the changes in order to get to that vision. We have to make the changes necessary in our personal lives in order to get there. This is true for us as individuals, for whatever vision God's put in your life. That's also true for ministries. It's also true for ministries like FSM. So with that as kind of a backdrop, I wanna get in to the vision for FSM for 2016. Now let me start by saying this. Oftentimes, most often, vision is shaped, okay, or vision comes about because you become discontent with something, or you're just not satisfied with where things are at. And so, just like the example of me with looking in the mirror and just kind of feeling like, man, I am just really unhealthy. I'm just don't have energy, and you become discontent. And so you all of a sudden you develop a vision for, well, I don't want to be like this. I don't want to stay here. I want to go here. I want to go to this place. So here's what I want to do. I want to be really transparent, and I want to share with you some things in student ministry that I'm very discontent about. I want to share with you some of these things. Now, some of these things that I'm going to mention, these are like, I would say that they're national trends. It's not just FSM specific. But some of the things I'm going to mention, they are FSM specific. And I'm going to try to differentiate. But these are some things that make me very discontent. I'm discontent that 80% of students graduate high school and leave the church. I'm very discontent with that. I am unsettled by the fact that many students graduate and immediately they lose their passion for God. All the passion they had in middle school and high school is great. They graduate, it's gone. I am totally unsettled by that. I am not satisfied that many of our students at FSM graduate and have never had the opportunity to contribute here at our church to the level or degree that I believe that they're capable of. I'm really unsettled by that. I'm discontent that many students graduate and the people and the leadership of our church missed out on getting to know them because we had them tucked over here on Sunday mornings. I'm really unsettled by that. I'm unsettled that our church family largely misses out on the experience of worshiping alongside you guys. And vice versa, I'm unsettled on the fact that many of you guys don't get the opportunity to worship alongside folks on the other side. I'm not satisfied when our church is visited by families who have middle schoolers and who have high schoolers. I'm not satisfied that many of those families that come don't even realize that FSM exists because we're kind of isolated over here. And so students who need to be a part of this community, who would benefit greatly, they don't know that this is happening. I'm really unsettled by that. Finally, I'm discontent that when we ask you to bring friends to youth group, we've not provided a great opportunity for this to happen because of the way that we do our services. These things unsettle me. They make me very, very discontent. And hopefully, as I said some of those things, my hope is that maybe in your heart you're thinking, that makes me a little discontent too. I don't know if I'm settled with that. So here's what I need to do first. I need to apologize to you. I need to apologize to you because of this. We've not fully set you up to achieve in these areas. We've not fully set you up for those things to not be you. And for that, I am very sorry. I'm very sorry for that. But guess what? We're going to change it. So, out of this discontentment, at the very beginning of this year, Tony and I sat down and we wrote a vision for FSM. What did I say? Vision comes out of discontentment, right? In that discontentment, here's what we wrote. We wrote this. This is our vision for FSM, you guys. I'll read it just as I wrote it. Our vision for FSM is to raise up and unleash a generation of students, not just students, but even more than students, a generation of leaders who are extraordinary followers of Christ, who love the church, and who contribute with their gifts and talents. That's the vision statement in a nutshell. Now, let me do this. I want to break it down to help you understand very specifically, because Josh Holderness told us in this video, if you were listening to Josh Holderness, he said, if you don't have a picture of what your future is going to be like, then you don't know if you attained anything. So I'm going to help you realize what we mean by this vision so that when you graduate, you can know what our hope is for your life. So first off, let me talk about extraordinary follower of Jesus. Let me tell you exactly what that looks like and exactly what that means. Here's what that means. When you leave FSM, prayer is a priority in your life. Every part of your life is dedicated to Jesus. You're reaching out and showing the love of Jesus to other people, not just those in your circle, but those outside of your circles. And you're following Jesus with your whole heart. That is an extraordinary follower of Jesus. That's what we want for every single one of you. That's what we want for every single student who will come into FSM, who's in elementary school now. That's what we want for their life. When they graduate, that they are that. What does it mean when we say we want to raise up students who love the church? Let me describe what that means. That means this: when you leave FSM, you value being a part of a community of believers of all ages, of all backgrounds, of all races, et cetera, et cetera. That means that when you leave FSM, you view the church as the backbone to your faith. That when you think of the church, you don't think of, oh, that's that building I go to every so often. No, you think the church is the place that keeps me going down the straight and narrow. The church is the people that pull me in when I might want to go off on this way. That's the group that pulls me back in. That's the place where I can go and get encouragement. That's the place where I truly grow, the backbone of your faith. When you leave FSM, you don't see the church as a building to attend. You see it as a community of people that you want to serve and give your life for. This means that when you leave FSM, you understand that the church is an entity that brings hope to a hurting world and changes lives with the message of Jesus and equips people to follow him. And that because of that, you want to give and spend the rest of your life being a part of a local church. And finally, what that means is this, that the church is not something that you go to for a little while and you go to until you're a senior and then you graduate and you don't go, and then you have a family, and you think, maybe you need to go to church, and so you go every once in a while. No. That once you leave and graduate, the church is a part of your life for the rest of your life, an integral, huge part of your life from college on. When you have a family, it's even more so. Finally, what do I mean by contribute with your gifts? What does that look like for us? Here's what that looks like. When you leave FSM, you've been given the opportunity to flourish and grow in your gifts and talents. That you've been able to, that your talents are used to build up others. That when you graduate, your gifts have been used to God's glory. And finally, that when you graduate, people have been and will be reached, inspired, and changed because you used your gifts. This is our vision. This is our vision for FSM. Now, in order to accomplish that vision, as I said earlier, whenever you have a tangible picture of a future reality, which is vision, oftentimes there has to be changes made in order to get there, in order for it to happen. Just like the Israelites standing over here and the promised land's there, a change has to happen for them to get there. It's very much the same thing with us, you guys. It's the same thing with us. If we're going to attain that vision, if that's going to become reality, then that means some things here have to change if we're going to get there. So, I'm going to talk with you about what's going to change for 2016. First off, FSM, our main meetings have been on Sunday mornings, and that's going to change. Our main meetings and our main experiences, our main gatherings are going to happen on Wednesday nights instead of Sunday mornings. So, the format for Wednesday will be very, very similar to what we're experiencing tonight. We'll have food from 6:30 to 7 and hangout time. We'll come in here, worship together, we'll do a game, we'll do announcements, and then we'll split for teaching. Then after that, which we'll do tonight, you'll go into small groups right after that. Second thing that's going to change next year is we're going to build in to our regular programming VIP nights, VIP nights, okay? VIP nights, these are specifically targeted, not for you, okay? VIP nights are nights specifically designed for you to reach out and bring people here who are hurting, lonely, need hope, and need those things that only Jesus can bring. These are people that you bring in who need Jesus in their life. Specifically designed for those folks. Our service will be completely different. It will be specifically catered to that person. So worship is not going to be worship. It's going to be something different. The speaker is not going to be me. It's going to be somebody way cooler than me. All right? Specifically targeted because we've not set you up well to reach out. We've not set you up well. We realize It's difficult as it is to bring somebody on a Sunday morning. Hey, come to church with me early Sunday morning. I know it's the day you want to sleep in, but come. But even within that, we understand and realize that maybe even the model of our service isn't something that you'd be comfortable inviting your friends to all the time. So we want to fix that. Because honestly, you guys, we believe this. It's so important that you be reaching out to those who don't know Christ. And if we're not providing an opportunity, if you're not doing that, you're missing something huge in your spiritual life. Okay. And we'll have food on those nights too, of course. Sunday's going to change. Sunday's going to be repurposed. Okay. Sunday is going to be repurposed so that we can be a part of what's going on church-wide at Faith Bible Chapel. So here's what that's going to look like. We're going to have a gathering place specially for us set up in the atrium. All right. I was talking about it being on the patio, but I was wrong. It's actually going to be in the atrium, so my bad. It's going to be a gathering place. It's going to be set up specifically for students to hang out at. But here's the expectation, you guys. Our vision and our desire is that you guys are contributing to the greater church body, that you're serving somewhere. You're serving and contributing. There's dozens of ways that this can be done, and we'll get more specific as time goes on. But we want you to be serving, and we want you to be going to a service over there. We want you to be going to a service on the West Campus. Now, for us, FSM, we're going to adopt the 10:45 service as our service to attend. And so we're going to have our own section. We're going to sit together. So if you didn't get a chance to go to service at 9 o'clock or you didn't get to go Saturday night, then you can come and hang with us at the service at 10:45. With this change in our model, we believe that we're going to be able to accomplish our vision so much better. And that vision, again, to raise up and unleash a generation of students who are extraordinary followers of Christ, who love the church, and who have the opportunity to contribute and grow in their gifts. But like I said, you guys, reaching a vision requires change. It requires change. We're excited for this. We truly, to our core, believe in this change. We believe it's the best thing that can happen for us as a ministry. We believe it's one of the best things that can happen for our church. We believe it's the best thing that can happen for you. And so we're walking into this fully sold out. We're walking into this fully enthusiastic and excited. Nobody's twisting our arm to do it. We believe that God spoke it to us. That's why we're doing it.